Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
We're so glad you're here today, Brother Sullivan. God bless you. Put your hands together and welcome Evangelist Tyler Sullivan.
And everybody said, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. What a privilege it is to be here in Oklahoma with all of you this morning. And looking forward to a great senior camp. And flew in last night from Houston and got to meet your wonderful pastor and his wife and got to fellowship with them a little bit. And I instantly liked them when I met them. You all are blessed with great leadership here. You're blessed with great leadership. And we had a great time last night. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your kindness to me. And I'm just privileged to be here today. And I had this old song on my mind this morning. Maybe it's like the evangelist staple song. I like the old songs. I grew up on the old songs. I'm not old, but I like the old songs. At least I keep telling myself. But I had this song on my mind. The blood that Jesus shed for me. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, and it soothes my doubt. It dries away all my tears. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never, never, never lose its power. Come on, if you know there's power, stand with me and sing it today. Come on, for it reaches to the highest, mountain. Yes, it does. And it flows to the lowest, valley. Oh, the blood. Gives me strength. Come on, how many need strength today? From day, to day, it will never lose. No, no, say it again. It will never, never, never lose. It will, never lose its power. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Good to see my friend Brother Fields here. Respect him highly. We went to Israel together, five, six, 7 years ago now, something like that. So I don't know what it is. I was a whole lot bigger, and they put all of the biggest guys on that trip on the same row on the airplane. I think they did it on purpose. But that was probably the most uncomfortable 14, 13-hour flight we've ever had. But good memories, of love, and respect him dearly. And it's just good to be in the house of the Lord today. Everybody said amen. I'll direct your attention today to Mark, the 12th chapter, and begin reading in the 17th verse. Also to 2 Samuel chapter number 15, and beginning reading in verse number 12, and I'll also read verse number 31. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 17. Thank you, music team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord this morning. I feel His presence here. Anybody else feel His presence? I'm thankful for His presence today. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. 2 Samuel chapter number 15, beginning reading in verse number 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Verse number 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. I'll preach for a few moments on this Father's Day on the subject, simply, the selfish father. The selfish father. Jesus, we love you. We give you praise today. We're nothing without you. We need your anointing. We need your spirit in this house today. We give you all the glory, for it belongs to you. Help us today. Anoint us today. Let your word go forth today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for worshiping. Thank you for standing. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. I was reminiscing earlier this morning. Next month, I will celebrate my 30-something none-of-your-business birthday. And I began to think back to a lot of my other birthdays when I was younger. And I began to remember my birthdays I celebrated when I was a young kid. And I remember one year in particular, my parents were supposedly throwing me this party, and I'd been asking them for this gift, Pastor. I'd been asking them for, I believe that year it was a paintball gun, and I'd been asking for it for a while, and I'd been anticipating the day that I was going to get that paintball gun, and the day finally came, and they celebrated, threw me a party, and I opened the box, and there it was. My brand new paintball gun. And I was so excited about it. And immediately, I have two other siblings. My younger brother decided he wanted to try and take the paintball gun from me. And I said, no, it doesn't belong to you. It's mine. And I went to great lengths to try and hide that gift that had been given to me and not him. Because like siblings do, they'll try and take all your stuff. So I hid it on the top shelf in the closet. I hid it on the bottom of the toy box and just whatever I could do to hide that gift from my brother, because I knew he was going to try to get it. I knew he was going to try to take it and go play with it. But the problem was that it was given to me and it wasn't given to him. It wasn't his. It was mine. And one day I looked outside and I saw my brother. He was outside, and somehow he had found that gift that had been given to me and not him. And he was outside playing with it. And I immediately went outside, and like good brothers do, we went and had a good Christian brotherly conversation, because he had taken something that didn't belong to him. And that good Christian brotherly conversation led to a good Christian brotherly fist fight. And that good Christian brotherly fist fight led to a good Christian brotherly wrestling match. All because he had taken something that didn't belong to him. It was mine. And I was going to make sure he knew that it belonged to me after that day. And in the middle of this good Christian brotherly wrestling match, we both heard the screen door slam at the house, and we both became the kindest, most loving brothers that have ever walked the earth since Cain and Abel. And because we knew what that door slamming meant, it meant we were fixing to find out who it really belonged to. And sure enough, here came Dad out of the house, and he took that gift that had been given to me and not my brother, and he took that gift, and we found out really it belonged to Dad, and he gave me the whole parental speech, you know, when you can learn to play and share with others, then maybe I'll, you know, whatever. And I learned a lot about my dad, and me and my brother, we would do a lot together. We would go out, and we'd like to build forts. We were going to go conquer the world, and we were going to go outside, and so we'd go take all of Dad's tools. We'd take his hammers, and we'd take his nails, and we'd take all of his saws, and we'd take all of his ratchets, his Sears Lifetime Craftsman Warranty ratchet sets, and we'd go out because we were going to build a fort. We were going to conquer the world, and we'd go out, and we'd nail all these boards up to these trees. We didn't know that the trees were protected. We found out later. But we would just nail all these in there, and we'd just go out because we were going to vanquish the world. We were going to go have a great time, and you know, 30 minutes later, we'd get tired of doing it, and we'd just go off do something else. And one day, we took all Dad's tools out there, and we just decided we were going to do something else, and we forgot that we left them out there. And it rained that night. And Dad walked outside the next day to his Sears Craftsman Lifetime Warranty ratchets, laying in the mud. And I learned there are some things that belong to Dad that you just didn't mess with. They were his. And I learned a lot about my dad. You know, just when you took something that belonged to Dad, no, that was Dad's. You didn't touch that. That was his. You weren't going to mess with that. And I began to think about that. And I began to reminisce on that. I began to parallel my earthly father with my heavenly father. And I begin to go through the Bible, and I begin to look through Scripture, and I begin to find out that there are some things in the Bible that belong exclusively to my heavenly father. There are some things that belong exclusively to God. And I begin to read about it. The first thing I find that belongs to him is in Isaiah 42 and 8, when it says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to any graven images." The glory belongs to God. And God says, this is mine. I'm not going to give it to anybody else. I'm not going to share it with anybody else. Now, the word glory here means the weight of the splendor or the magnificence of God. It's not in the same context as 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, where it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face." It's not that same definition, but it is the same interpretation as the word glory in Psalms 29 and 2, where it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory, due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And he said, you got to remember, the glory belongs to me. It's mine. It doesn't belong to anybody else. But when the Israelites were crossing over, getting ready to go into the promised land, God knows the land they're getting ready to walk into. So he says, listen, before you go into the promised land, I know there's going to be a lot of other gods over there that you're going to go, and they're going to try to get your worship. They're going to try to get your praise. They're going to try to get the glory. But before you go over, I'm going to give you some commandments. And the first one I'm going to give you is this: thou shalt have no other gods before me. I know where you're getting ready to walk into. I know where you're getting ready to go. But before you go, you better learn some things. You better learn the glory belongs to me. And I am a jealous God. And I'd better be the only one inhabiting your praise. So I've learned that I'm not going to give my checkbook glory above God. I'm not going to learn to give my problems glory, more glory than I'm giving God. I'm not going to come in and just worry through. No. God says the glory is mine, and I'd better be the only thing inhabiting your praise. Don't you praise anything else besides me. I'd better be the one that gets it all, because the glory is mine, and I am a jealous God. I go on. The second thing I find that belongs to God comes in Leviticus 27 and 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is holy unto the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the Lord, verse number 32, of the herd of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. If he feels so strongly about his tithe, that God said in Malachi chapter 3 that if you decide you want to be a thief and a robber and not give me what belongs to me, then I'll curse you with a curse. And so even in hard times, and even in pandemics, and even when things don't look good, I've learned I've got to give God what belongs to him. Because he said, if you give me what belongs to me, then I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. But not only that, then I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he won't be able to touch the fruits of your labor. But not only that, then all nations shall call you blessed. So I've had to learn to be obedient and give God what is his, and he's going to take care of me. But more than that, God said, you got to try me. And during these last 3 years, I've learned that the further blessing is not in the tithe. The further blessing is in the offering. And when I go further, God goes further. Several years ago, I was the executive pastor at a great church in Sacramento. It was a big church. Had my own office. Had my own just everything. I basically ran the church, and so it was a great. It was a great thing, and I was still a tremendous, tremendous church, but I began to feel a shift in my spirit, and I began to think, oh, God, what is the shift I'm feeling? And I felt like God wanted me to go evangelize, and so I said, okay, God, if this is your will, I'll go do this. And so I stepped out in faith, and I said, okay, God, the revivals begin lining up. Everything was going good. Everything was taking place, and I said, okay, God, you're really working this out. And so the first weekend I went full-time evangelizing was the first weekend COVID hit, and everything started shutting down, and I started to get a little bit worried, Brother Borden. I'm thinking, oh, my God, is this really you, God? Is this you're going to have to take care of me. Because you don't want to answer your phone, and it's a pastor when a pandemic hits. You really don't. Well, brother, we'll book you again, I promise, in maybe 6 or 7 years. But we just can't do this right now. And so I'm thinking, okay, God, if this was really you, you're going to have to take care of me. And I remember that verse that said, try me. And I begin to try God. And I begin to send other evangelist offerings. I begin to increase my missions giving. I begin to give more than I've ever given before. I begin to sacrifice more than I've ever, because God said, try me. And I begin to try God. And I promise you, when I started to do that, everything changed. Everything changed. And there was not one weekend in the middle of all of COVID where God did not take care of me and I was not in a pulpit somewhere preaching, because I learned that when I give God what belongs to him, he says, I'll take care of you. And when I go further, that's when God goes further. And when I step out in faith, I got to remember, God's walking right with me. He's going right alongside of me. But I got to give him what belongs to him. The glory's his. But he said, the tithe is also mine. And I learned to give God what belongs to him. The third thing I found that belongs to God is in Revelation 1 and 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation 2 and 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, the word angels here translated literally means messengers or pastors. And God said, I am holding them in my hand.
And I've got to be careful when I let something come out of my mouth that goes against what belongs to God. I've got to be careful about what I let come into my spirit that begins to disagree with the man of God. Because God is not so far removed that he will not open up the earth and swallow me up if I start going against what belongs to him. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to get behind the man of God every single chance we get. Because the man of God belongs to God. He don't belong to you. He belongs to God. And God's going to take care of him. God's going to sustain him. God's going to give him strength. God's going to keep him moving. And you know what? I got to be careful. I don't let something come into my spirit that goes against what belongs to God. You know what the pastor needs right now? You know what the man of God needs right now? It's not somebody going at everybody else backbiting and talking about everything and about what's wrong with the church and what's going on among them. No. He needs somebody to come alongside of him and lift up his hands and say, hey, Pastor, I'm behind you. Pastor, let's have revival. Pastor, let's have a move of God. Come on, when you get behind what belongs to God, God's going to get behind you. And he's going to say, come on, somebody, get behind. The glory's his. The tithe is his. The man of God belongs to him. There may be a national coin shortage, but it still seems like everybody's got 2 cents. The fourth thing that belongs to God, this is the one that I love to preach on. This is the one where evangelists, you know, inflect their voice and get that preacher voice on, you know. But let's start, because I love preaching about Psalm 62 and 11. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. I love preaching on this one because I know all power belongs to God. Power here means boldness, loud, might, strength, strong. And I'm glad I'm serving the God that holds all power in his hands. Come on, you're not just serving any other God this morning. You're not just clapping your hands to any other God this morning. You're not just lifting your voice to any other God. You're praising and worshiping the God to whom holds all power in his name. And when I say the name of Jesus, I know literally anything can happen. When I say in Jesus' name, I know cancer can be healed. When I say in Jesus' name, I know the blind can receive their sight. I know when I say in Jesus' name, come on, anybody know there's power in the name of Jesus? You come too late to tell me God can't do it. I've seen him raise the dead. I've seen him open the blinded eye. I've seen him unstop the deaf ear. God has all power. You wouldn't just clap your hands like this if you knew you were serving a God who has all power. You'd be on your feet dancing a little bit. You'd be on your feet shouting a little bit because you're serving the God who's got all power. He's got power to heal you. He's got power to save you. He's got power to deliver you. He's got power to bring your lost loved one back. He's got power. I wish somebody would clap your hands right now if you knew you're serving the God who has all power. Come on, when you start talking about Jesus, it makes you want to get out of your little routine. It makes you want to move your feet. It makes you want to clap your hands. It makes you want to dance. It makes you want to shout. Power belongs to God. Power's his. Glory's his. Tithe is his. The man of God belongs to him. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated. The fifth thing that belongs to God is where I will spend the majority of my message this morning. Because in Deuteronomy 32 and 35, it says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them shall make haste. We're reminded of it again in Romans 12 and 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And in our scripture text today, it's the story of David. David is king. His own son Absalom has such ill intentions to take over his father's throne that he'll do anything that it takes, whatever he's got to do to get onto the throne, he's going to do it. Doesn't matter that it's his daddy. Doesn't matter that it's his own father, his own flesh and blood. But Absalom wants power so bad that he's willing to do anything it takes just to get on the throne. And David sees what's happening here and he sees what's going on and he says, you know what? I'm not going to stay where God doesn't want me. God put me on the throne, and if God wants me to come back, he'll put me back, but I'm not going to stay where God doesn't want me. So maybe this is God's way of telling me I need to leave. I don't know what it is, but David takes his men and he leaves, and Absalom sees he's that much closer to the throne, and the whole conspiracy is just it's a crazy story, because Absalom is willing to do whatever it takes. He goes to the gates of the city, and there he stands by the gates, and the Bible says he begins to talk to the men of Israel. David's not in the gates, and Absalom stands by the gates, and he begins to tell everybody, hey, don't you wish you had a king that could talk to you? The gate was where the people would come and talk to the king. They would come and bring their circumstances and their problems and their issues to the king. If they had an issue in the kingdom, they would come and talk to the king in the gates. And so David's not in the gates because he's mourning for his family, and Absalom comes to the gates of the city, and he says, come on, tell me your issues. Tell me your problems. Don't you wish you had a king that could talk to you? Don't you wish you had a king that you could tell your issues to? I'll help you. I'll talk to you. I'll be the one that you want. And the Bible says he was so strong in his conspiracy that he began to turn the hearts of the men of Israel. He began to turn their hearts towards him. He began to turn. You got to be careful to who you listen to in the gate. You got to be careful to who you listen to in the gate. Come on, don't you amen the social media preacher on social media more than you do your own pastor. They're not concerned about your souls. They're not concerned about your worth. No, 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 no. But the man who stands in the gate is one. You got to be careful who you listen to in the gate. And so he begins to turn the hearts of the men of Israel. And the Bible says his conspiracy was so strong and it was so good that everybody began to say, Absalom would make a great king. Absalom needs to be the king. And we read that David leaves, takes his men, and he goes. And then we're introduced to the not so often preached about character whose name is Ahithophel. And Ahithophel had been one of David's closest counselors. He had been one of David's closest friends. He had been one of David's closest confidants. And the Bible begins to talk about Ahithophel. Ahithophel was somebody, when David had an issue, he would come and he would counsel with Ahithophel. Ahithophel, what do you think about this? Ahithophel, should we do this? Ahithophel, should we go to war? What should we do? And the Bible says Ahithophel's counsel was so good that it was as if the oracle of God was speaking. It was as if every time he spoke, it was as if God himself came down and he would begin to speak through Ahithophel. He'd never been wrong. He'd never missed it. He had never made an accidental statement. No, no, no. Every time he spoke, it was literally like the oracle of God was speaking. And he had been one of David's closest counselors and one of David's closest friends. And Absalom sees him sacrificing in a city called Gilo. And he sends for him and says, I want you to now be loyal to me, Ahithophel. I want you to now serve me. I want you to now to counsel me. And one of the puzzling pieces of this whole story is he does it. He throws it all away. He throws it all to the side, his whole relationship with David, his whole friendship with David. He throws it all out the window and says, okay, Absalom, I'll now be loyal to you. You're the one that I want to see as king. It doesn't make sense to me. Why would you throw a lifetime? He had seen his kids grow up. Ahithophel had seen Absalom grow up as a boy. He had been David's. Why would you throw it all out? Doesn't make sense to me. I can't quite figure it out, but David hears the news and he begins to pray, oh God, I know how good Ahithophel's counsel is, so I need you, God, start turning the counsel of Ahithophel. And David is so disturbed by this news in his spirit, and he begins to grieve, because in Psalms 41 and 9 he begins to cry out, yay, mine own familiar friend and whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. He goes on to say in Psalms 55 and 12, it wasn't an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Had it been my enemy, I could have dealt with this. It wasn't even him that hated me that magnified himself against me. At least if it had been somebody that hated me, I could have hid myself from him. It wasn't either one of those, but it was thou, Ahithophel. You were a man of mine equal. You were my guide. You were my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God together on a Sunday morning. We walked in and said, hey, David, what do you think God's going to do this morning? I don't know, Ahithophel. Maybe he's going to open up another blinded eye like we saw last time. Maybe he's going to fill somebody else with the Holy Ghost. Maybe, come on, let's worship Ahithophel. All right, David, let's run the eye. And they'd be walking to the house of God and come. They knew what it was like to go to church. It was you. You betrayed me. You did all this. And it doesn't make sense to me. And we read that he becomes loyal to Absalom. But David had another friend named Hushai. And he said, Hushai, you're also a counselor to me. I need you to go, and I need you to go pretend to be loyal to Absalom. I need you to go, and I need you to go to Absalom. He's going to see you coming, Hushai. But I need you to go pretend like you're going to be loyal to him. And whenever Ahithophel begins to give advice, I need you to counter that advice. And I need you to advise Absalom the other way. So Hushai, will you do? Yeah, I'll do that for you, David. You're my friend. And Hushai goes to Absalom, and just like David said, he's going to saw him coming. He said, what are you doing here, Hushai? Aren't you my father's friend? Aren't you my father's confidant? And Hushai looks at him and says, yeah, but you're going to be on the throne soon. I want to be on the winning side. I want to be with the one who's going to be king. And Hushai now becomes loyal to Absalom. And Absalom, seeing he's so much closer to his father's throne, calls Hushai to one side, and he calls Ahithophel to another side, and he says, guys, I'm so close to sitting where my father sat. What do I need to do now to make sure I sit where he sat? I'm so close to the throne. I'm so close there. What do I need to do? And he looks at Ahithophel, and he says, Ahithophel, what do I need to do? Ahithophel says, let me take 12,000 men, and let me go, and let me hunt down David, and let me go to where he's at, and I'm not going to kill anybody else. I'm not going to destroy anybody else. I'm not going to do any. No, just let me go to where he is, and I'll destroy him alone. We got to do this quick. We got to do this fast. We got to do this now. We got to do this at this moment. Let me take 12,000 men and go right now, and I'll kill David. It's almost like he's got something against him. Then he looks at Hushai, what should I do? And Hushai looks at Absalom and says, his advice, Ahithophel's advice is not good at this time. It's not good for right now. You don't need to go do this right now. Don't you remember? This is David we're talking about. The guy who has his mighty men. And he's the guy who killed Goliath. You go and fight him right now. It's going to be like fighting a dog in a corner. And he's going to try. No, you don't want to go mess with David right now, Absalom. And Absalom looks at Hushai. And he looks at Ahithophel. And for the first time in his life, Ahithophel hears his advice not be followed. Absalom looks at Hushai and says, we're going to do this your way. Ahithophel hears the news. The Bible says, after he's heard the news, he goes, and Absalom's not going to follow my advice. God, I've never been wrong. Goes, packs up his donkey, goes back to his house, goes to his desk, puts his affairs in order, puts everything in where it should be, takes a rope, throws it over the nearest beam in the house, and there he hangs himself. He hangs himself there in the house. And I'm thinking in my mind, doesn't have to end this way. Doesn't have to end like this. Doesn't have to stop. Ahithophel, why? Ahithophel, knowing in his mind that David's going to be king again. My advice has never been wrong. Throws the rope over the beam, and there he ends his life. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this doesn't make sense. You've got more to live for. You can still do that. Why did it have to end this way? You had everything together. You had all the advice going. You had every bit of God speaking through you. Why did you choose to throw it all away? And it doesn't make sense in my mind until I begin to read about the genealogy of Ahithophel. And I read that Ahithophel had a son named Eliam. And Eliam had a daughter whose name was Bathsheba. Now, it makes sense in my mind. Ahithophel remembers the day that David shamed his family. He remembers the day. He told Uriah, Uriah, get out to the front line. You're going to die. Remembers the day when his great-grandbaby had to die because of the sins of a man named David. And he said, I'm going to let a little place in my heart become bitter. I'm going to let it become wounded. And I'm going to let it become hurt. And I'm going to get vengeance on him one day. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm going to get vengeance on David. Maybe years from now, but you better believe I'm going to get even with this man. You better believe I'm going to get my share of this man. And he let a place come into his heart where he said, I'm going to take vengeance. But he forgot about the fifth thing that belongs to God. Because God said, vengeance is mine. And he forgot that when you go out to dig to get even, you got to dig two graves. But he also forgot about the sixth thing that belongs to God. Because in Psalm 62 and 12 it says, also, unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Ahithophel, you can try to get even, but you better remember, he's the God of mercy. Vengeance is his.
Belongs, but he's also the God to whom mercy.
Come on, what are you going to do when that person that's wounded you and hurt you and offended you walks through that back door and they run down to an altar and they begin to cry, God, I messed up. God, I blew it. God, I don't have anything else to give, but here's myself. Forgive me. Give me a little bit. Throw your hands up all across the house if you would. Hallelujah. He's a selfish father. But listen, stand to your feet today if you would. Listen, he's not so selfish that he will not give somebody what they need. And we're all going to need mercy. But you better remember it belongs to him. And if you want the mercies of God to be active in your life, it's very simple what you have to do. Are you ready? Matthew 6 and 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. You want to know what closes the hand of the selfish father? If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thank God I'm not the selfish father. I'd have a hard time forgiving people, Brother Borders, on that scale. I'd have a hard time forgiven people billions and billions and billions of sin. But thank God today, our Heavenly Father, yeah, he's selfish, but he's not so selfish in the fact he's not going to open up his hand and give a little bit of mercy. Let me just tell somebody today, it's not worth you holding a grudge. It's not worth letting that bitter root get in your spirit and in your heart, because all it's going to do is eat you alive. All it's going to do is cause you to every day just get a little bit more bitter and a little bit more bitter until you decide to take something that doesn't belong to you and say, I'm going to get vengeance. But how about today? We show a little bit of mercy. Will you throw your hands towards heaven right now, everybody in the house? And will you just begin to do a little bit of soul searching? Come on, if there's anything in me, oh God, that I need to, it doesn't have to end like this. It doesn't have to stop like this. It's not, come on, it doesn't have to end like a hit the fail. Come on, it doesn't have to end like this. There's still time. There's still a moment. There's still a little bit of mercy available for you. Come on, will you lift your hands right now? Will you lift your voice all across the house? Come on. Come on, the selfish father's in the building today. Oh, God, I need you. Come on, I'm telling somebody, you want to go to the next level? You're going to go to the next level when you learn to forgive. You're going to go to the next place when you learn to grant a little bit of mercy. You're going to go to the next place in revival when you learn, hey, God, I've been a thief. I've taken a little bit of vengeance in my own hand. I got to get rid of some things. Come on, this is a Sunday morning. I know it's Father's Day, and we're celebrating fathers. Come on. Let's celebrate the selfish father today. Oh, God. Come on, God, I'm giving you back what belongs to you. Come on, I'm giving you back that grudge. I've been holding this stone in my hand for a long time. I'm getting rid of it today. I'm throwing it away today. Come on, there's healing for you on the other side of your bitterness. There's a breakthrough for you on the other side of that vengeance you want to get. Come on, there's a miracle on the other side. But it begins by you extending mercy. Come on, let's talk to God.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.